Starting recording already.
Good evening. Anyone there?
Hello, Patricia. This is Harry.
Hi, Harry.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I am doing just fine. Thank you.
Nice to see you. Did I do something good?
What?
I'm sorry?
We, nice to hear you, Harry.
We started the record on the conference before we're completely set up because I don't know how to do all the things here. So. Excuse me.
If you're recording, I'll try to think of something wise and sagacious to say, but unfortunately, I'm at a loss.
So what did Adam say to Eve after their first fight? Back off. I wear the plants in this family.
So what did Adam say to Eve after their first fight?
What did Adam say to Eve after their first fight?
Back off. I wear the plants in this family.
I like it.
Harry, Margaret wants you to say something else.
Okay. Do you know the difference between a buffalo and a bison?
No.
Well, a buffalo is a North American plains herbivore, and a bison set will wash your face in.
To say something else.
Okay.
I don't know if you're a redneck, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, I've got my other phone on. I have a feedback loop. Yes, I'm afraid it's true. I mean, I like Patsy Cline's songs, you know, when I want to.
Crazy. Yeah, I grew up in the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, yes. So are we awaiting the technological wizards of our group to get us all lined up with all these different technologies working in harmony?
Yes, we're waiting for the wizards.
The wizards to make all of this... these electrons move in formation.
Did you hear anything that Dan just said, Harry?
I did not. Of course, I had to turn off my computer. I had to turn off my sound on my computer lest I have a feedback loop and Dan will
and then
correct.
Now you can hear me better, right?
I can hear you just fine now. Thank you.
George.
Silverdale is here listening quietly but intently.
Oh, well, we need to hear a joke from you.
Well, I wanted Harry to repeat the punchline for the buffalo and the bison. I think I got the first half of it. I didn't get the second half of it.
Well, a buffalo is a large North American plains herbivore.
Okay.
And a bison is something to wash your face in.
Now, Harry, I didn't get that. Say that one more time.
See, I mean, my accent is lacking and is not translated to this technology.
Oh, I see. Okay.
A bison is something that you wash your face in.
Oh, I see. Okay. I got it.
It's a down under joke. It was told to me by
are you looking for a microphone?
A guy from Australia.
I just want to know what you were down and under.
Well, we had actually.
Well, we may not want to.
So I think we're all set, ready to go. Is that right? Okay. So are all your buttons turned on because we're going to start?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Hello, it is 7 o'clock. Wednesday night, and it's the ABD guidebook, and this is week number 29, and we are here sitting in the place where normally you would see David Franco. And because we're sitting in the place where you would normally see David Franco, you do not need to adjust your screens or change the picture. This is really the ABD guidebook show. And we're going to be doing a little bit of a different class tonight because we're taking the pause that refreshes. That would be 7-Up?
I'm not
7-Up, seven angels up. Sunday sermons, which are found in the back third of the American Book of the Dead guidebook, the Sunday sermons are a complete unit of material unto themselves, and we're inserting the first five Sunday sermons here between book six, which was
El Mumin,
and book seven, which will be the next book presented, which is?
I don't know.
Anybody in book seven group? No one's in book seven
it's
group?
Mahaimin.
Oh, thank you. Mahaimin. Seventh book. So that will start again in 2 weeks tonight. But in the meantime, if you have the opportunity this past week to follow my suggestion and you listened to one of the recorded Sunday sermons, why don't you let us know that? How about you guys? Were you able to catch it on the the forum and pick up on it to Silverdale or
Harry?
No, I didn't.
I have not either.
Did you find it? Did you have reference to it? Did somebody send you a message about it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I did not get an email, certainly, and the only thing I think you're referring to is, do we have an opportunity to go back onto the news stream ABD from last week and listen to it? I didn't.
No, it was set up to be a simple listening to an MP3 file that Oz found, and it was sent out in an email, and I guess it was on one of the particular forums. We did not put everybody's name on it. So I can make sure that you get that message if you get email, George.
I would. I'd like to listen to it for sure.
Yeah.
I hope you ask me this question next week.
It's a wonderful broadcast. You can find the link on the Prosperity Forum on Facebook, too.
Yeah, and I'll send them the link. And Dan, anybody over there say that they heard it last week, during the week? That's the question. Did anybody listen to a Sunday sermon during the week?
While he's checking, we did have the opportunity to read Sermon 1 and 2 on Sunday in the ashram. So it was a wonderful opportunity. So several people, particularly in the Spanish group.
Yes, that was live.
Yes. And then Tom from Canada was there also, so that was reading it again in a group setting.
Oh, good. Okay, well, we're still checking on that one. The reason why I wanted you to have the opportunity to listen to a Sunday sermon this past week was because there's the experience of hearing, and then there's the experience of reading, and then there's the experience of speaking. And they do tap into different arenas of understanding and comprehension and impression. And one of the things that I'm hoping that our experience together with the ABD guidebook has shown us is that song, dance, prayer, jubilation, music, all of these things can carry the impact of the teaching. They don't necessarily have to be in the format of a book. So I'm hoping that you will get the opportunity this next week to look at it. It was the 8th Sunday sermon, which if you've looked ahead, you know, is the shortest sermon in the book. And it really has a couple of qualities to it that you could practice the corpse position, if you know that, or the relaxed facial mask, if you know that, or the basic confront, if you know that. Any of those three elements added to listening to the Sunday sermon is what I'm hoping that you're going to have an opportunity to do for yourself this next week. So if you haven't yet had that opportunity, try this week to do that. So now we'll go ahead and start in on the third Sunday sermon. And just to maybe emphasize, there's a small difference in the language between the version of this Book of the Dead and some of our more recent editions. And that is, in the newer versions, we refer to the stage of transit as the macro dimensions. And in the text that we're working with here, we refer to it as transit. And so when they use the language of a transit priest, they're speaking about the same context that we use for a labyrinth reader's guide, a person who's been trained in guiding. So I think those are the only two terms that I want to make sure people had clarity on. So anyway, would you begin? And Dan, do we have Dick on there tonight? He would be in on my ID. Good. Okay. So when he has a commentary, we can speak it to the group. You've got the phone, right?
Yes. He'll
have to call. No, he doesn't need to call. He's going to type in, right? He's going to type into the chat, and you'll be able to speak it.
Sure.
Yeah. That we don't have to have an extra phone going. Thank you.
Great.
Yes.
Ian said that no, he did not hear the Sunday sermon, but he would like the link.
Yes, okay. Well, if we have his email address in one of the forums, you know, we can send it to him.
Or Dan, you could go get it and post it.
Yeah.
We'll chat for everyone.
Good. Okay. Anything else? Any other comments? Okay, we'll begin.
The third Sunday sermon, 3. Life is not, nor has it ever been, dependent on the conditions of existence or the existence of the body. When we discover in this teaching that we survive any body into which we have gotten ourselves, then there is no question of uncertainty about it.
This kind of certainty about survival past the body and the world of matter has to be learned by actual experience. And if it is going to help us be certain as practitioners, then we are going to have to know for certain that we are very senior spiritually to bodies and to the material world. And we are going to have to learn that long before we die.
No amount of theory or speculation or even revealed doctrine can comfort us about this unless we have had personal and direct experience out of the body and out of the material world. And we know what happens between death and rebirth because we have ourselves been there, experienced it, and dealt with it for ourselves before we can help others to deal with it.
It does not say can.
That is the definition and the description of a transit priest who has taken the seminary training.
That is why the actual experience of recognizing one's own spiritual nature and not just the spiritual nature of another being is so important, and why the transit priest is not ordained until after this experience has been induced in special training programs.
The direct experience of death and rebirth and the complete memory of all his own deaths and rebirths, as well as the positive methods for handling death and rebirth and arranging for a better rebirth or for liberation or both, is why the transit priest has such powerful certainty about death and rebirth and what to do about it. He is so certain that he can handle these things that he is not afraid to live with all his being.
When one has experienced death and rebirth, and death no longer has power over him, he is much more likely to live his lives with robust joy, bursting with love and beauty, because there is nothing left for him to be afraid of or confused about. Death and rebirth are no longer mysteries which he must face and be overwhelmed by. They have become his friends, and he is intimate with them. Now, he can live without fear. And one more time, the third Sunday sermon, 3. Life is not, nor has it ever been dependent on the conditions of existence or the existence of the body. When we discover in this teaching that we survive any body into which we have gotten ourselves, then there's no question of uncertainty about it.
But this kind of certainty about survival past the body and the world of matter has to be learned by actual experience. If it is going to help us be certain as practitioners, then we are going to have to know for certain that we are very senior spiritually to bodies and to the material world. And we are going to have to learn that long before.
No amount of theory or speculation or even revealed doctrine can comfort us about this unless we have had personal and direct experience out of the body and out of the material world. And we know what happens between death and rebirth because we have ourselves been there, experienced it, and dealt with it for ourselves before we help others to deal with it. That is the definition and the description of a transit priest who has taken the seminary training.
That is why the actual experience of recognizing one's own spiritual nature and not just the spiritual nature of another being is so important. Why the transit priest is not ordained until after this experience has been induced in special training programs.
The direct experience of death and rebirth and the complete memory of all his own deaths and rebirths, as well as the positive methods for handling death and rebirth and arranging for a better rebirth or for liberation or both, is why the transit priest has such powerful certainty about death and rebirth and what to do about it. He is so certain that he can handle these things that he is not afraid to live with all his being.
When one has experienced death and rebirth, and death no longer has power over him, he is much more likely to live his lives with robust joy, bursting with love and beauty, because there is nothing left for him to be afraid of or confused about. Death and rebirth are no longer mysteries which he must face and be overwhelmed by. They have become his friends, and he is intimate with them. Now he can live without fear.
So just a rough guess without counting how many times was the word certain or certainty used in this sermon? Silverdale.
I was starting to count.
Yeah. It gets that way, doesn't it? What would your guess be?
I'd guess 10 times.
I guessed at least 7, and I didn't count them, but I'm pretty sure I know it was at least 7 places. Yeah, what do you think that would mean, supposing you had to give a small one-word synopsis of the sermon?
Well, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I understand what this sermon is saying in my own experience, and it's really nothing more than this. As we begin to awaken, as our essence begins to awaken, which happens gradually, then, as it says in this text, all the mystery goes away because you've done it. You know what's happening and why it's happening and how to make it happen and for what purpose, and there's a certainty there. Hey, by the way, Patricia, I really wanted to ask you, last week you mentioned that EJ read these sermons to a group of people there in Crestline, and I understood that you were part of that congregation?
I was a part, in so much as any woman who has given birth to premature twins can be part of anything except looking after her 2-3-pound newborn infants in the new neonatal clinic at the same time as these things are happening. But
I hear you. Then in this in that case, well, Tamara, I'll just in a moment, and you can contribute, but I just want to ask you, Pat, out of the people that were in that congregation, I can't imagine it was more than maybe 15 or 20 people, did anybody go through this so-called seminary training and become a, quote, practitioner, a transit priest, question mark?
Okay, so in a couple of weeks, we will hopefully have a live interview and discussion with a number of us who were there at the time that the Sunday sermons were created. And I can name four of us that have the appropriately appointed credentials behind our name, and that's what it represents.
Okay.
One of them is Jerry Berman.
Right.
One of them is Brain Fuzz. Ennis. Robert Ennis.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
You'll have to ask her. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I have.
Mm-hmm.
And the seminary training, the Crestline Theological Seminary, which is where the Clear Light Chapel was a continuation of, the training that EJ had been providing for the prior number of years, and it just worked itself into a couple of specifics at this point, which is when the Transit Practitioners course was first created to share the training material with people who were first coming in touch with the American Book of the Dead. It was study material. So that was kind of the preliminary, and then there was further training after that. So yes, there are a number of us who do have that as a credential and are known as, a Doctor of Divinity through St. George's Church, out of California, blah, 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 blah number, and all that stuff. Yes, there are a number of us that did that.
Oh, great, thank you.
But there will be a conversation, live conversation here in a couple of weeks with a number of us who were there then, and we'll...
Well, I look forward to that.
We'll do that. We'll do an interview live, and I think it'll either be on the Wednesday night meeting or it'll be on the Sunday night Patty show. It'll be one of these.
Patricia, may I ask a question?
Please.
Is this training still available?
Good question. I don't have the answer. I can ask the question.
Excellent.
Yeah, I can ask the question, is it available?
And Harry, I think we're going through it in our own way right now anyway.
I concur.
It's great
based on my experience with what's happening in my life.
It's for sure for me. This material has really been very enriching to me personally in terms of experiencing and understanding. So it must be just the years of effort,
I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that.
I remember having a conversation with Reb Zalman when he was talking about...
I was thinking about him.
When you have the experience of remembering the multiple time tracks where you exist, he says you can no longer, even though, he for a long time was an Orthodox rabbinical teacher, also friends with Thomas Burton and learned the Mass. He said when you survey that, you can no longer be so fiercely identified with one tradition that, and when he was talking about it, I had that sense of, like being at the heart, like in the Tree of Life here at Tipperessa, at the heart that leads to all the different, or in Philadelphia. And I had the experience of attending briefly his Jewish Mystery School, and there was one Sunday morning that was a prayer meeting, and he allowed me to put on a prayer shawl and the other ritual items. And he didn't say anything, just sort of helped me put them on, and I immediately had this vision of standing with a large assembly of people at Mount Sinai, and I began to weep. And there is that kind of certainty was a life-changing experience. And again, like I said, I was raised very Christian and never had that kind of powerful conversion or experience or initiation or whatever. So I do know in a small way that when it speaks about, you know, the experience that arises from special training programs, I feel like I had a little bit of taste of that, and it was, it changed my everything.
In the same light, Rashad Field used to speak about the experience of people who would walk onto the property of the center that they maintain called Bashara in England. And he said people would come there basically not knowing how come they were coming there. And they would step on the property and they would begin weeping.
Yes.
And he would put his finger over their chest and say, "Does that help?" And the weeping would stop, and then he'd take his finger away and say, "It's okay, you'll get better in a while," you know. It's like, this is not an uncommon experience within this context. It is, you know, what do you call it, ecumenical.
Yes.
But yeah, this particular sermon speaks to the distinction between the potential for you to be of assistance to those that are going through the transit experience because of your certainty about your knowledge about death and life and what's in between, not because of your understanding of the text. And I find it, you know, it's almost like hammering you over the head. That is why the actual experience of recognizing one's own spiritual nature and not just the spiritual nature of another being is so important, i.e. teachers or heroes or saints or whatever, and why the transit priest is not ordained until after this experience has been induced in special training programs, because it's just hearsay otherwise, and you cannot be of service.
Sure.
In that way, you know, you really have to have hands on in order to be of assistance in that manner. So I find this particular sermon, it was only the second one, and you remember what one, or no, it's the third one, right? Yeah, so it's like the third week in, and you're getting this kind of, you know, pounding.
Well, for me, it links right into that line from Sermon 1. If you want to heal the spirit, you must not bury the teaching within a form.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that again, Tamara, please?
It's from the first sermon. If you want to heal the spirit, you must not bury the teaching within a form. And I know EJ has on many occasions said, you know, personal experience.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Dan, do you have a commentary there that you would like to share?
Laura 34 says, "I went through training for the ABD, but I don't think it was for what you are speaking of. At the time this was going on, the practitioner's training." And then Ian said, "Thank you, Tamara, for your contribution." Looks like that's the last comment.
Okay. Thank you. So we can return to three in a moment, but I'm going to go on now with the fourth Sunday sermon, four, fear, confusion, disease, and death are not spiritual. We are sure to recognize that there is only spirit. So, as one goes up the scale in spiritual growth, the belief in and effect upon oneself of these things of the world of matter disappear.
Yes.
The higher one goes in spiritual evolution, the less real these things are, and the more real the genuine nature of spirit.
Since matter and energy are made up of the five primal forms of consciousness and have in themselves no consciousness or any form of thought, they cannot take an action of their own. They cannot take any action which the spirit has not given them to take.
Therefore, the conditions of existence in the world of matter is that the objects of material existence are without consciousness and without the ability to initiate action, and so are completely under the direction of the spirit.
Then what is the source of birth, old age, sickness, and death? Can spirit be the source of these things? They are the cause of all suffering, and yet they exist only in the dream and are only as real as the dreamer's belief in their reality.
To the pure spirit, these are not real, and therefore they have no power over the spirit. But they are elements of the dream, and to the spirit, which has become drawn into the dream and believes in its reality, they have become real, and therefore he is under their power.
Therefore, once the spirit comes to believe in the reality of the material world and in its power to affect the spiritual being, the source of these causes of suffering are the spirit who has become degraded by the existence of the world and has floundered in its depths so long that the real source of all actions and material things is the spirit itself.
When the spirit has been cleansed of its encounters with the world of matter, then all material effects are washed away. Eliminate the power of the world, and the suffering of the world is also eliminated. The spirit has been purified and reclaims those things of which it is the source.
When fear and confusion vanish in the light of the spirit, the cause of suffering and illness, fear and death, also vanishes. If you allow yourself as a practitioner to believe in the reality of matter as the source of illness, fear, birth, suffering, and death, you provide them with the power to rule
your spirit. And you admit discord and disease and permit them to have their own reality and force within the world of matter. You give them this power over your spirit, that you cannot help yourself nor be helped in spirit.
Giving such power to material things prevents their recognition as the simple interplay of the five primal forms of consciousness within the void, thus rendering the practitioner unfit for the successful application of the teaching.
And so a practitioner always dwells in the reality of pure spirit and never allows the material world to be the force of itself, but only the result of the direction of the divine spirit and subject to it.
Give this to you again.
Okay. The fourth Sunday sermon. Fear, confusion, disease, and death are not spiritual. We are sure to recognize that there is only spirit. So as one goes up the scale in spiritual growth, the belief in and effect upon oneself of these things of the world of matter disappear.
The higher one goes in spiritual evolution, the less real these things are, and the more real the genuine nature of spirit.
Since matter and energy are made up of the five primal forms of consciousness and have in themselves no consciousness or any form of thought, they cannot take an action of their own. They cannot take any action which the Spirit has not given them to take.
Therefore, the conditions of existence in the world of matter is that the objects of material existence are without consciousness and without the ability to initiate action, and so are completely under the direction of the Spirit.
And what is the source of birth, old age, sickness, and death? Can Spirit be the source of these things? They are the cause of all suffering, and yet they exist only in the dream, and are only as real as the dreamer's belief in their reality.
To the pure spirit, these are not real, and therefore they have no power over the spirit, but they are elements of the dream. And to the spirit which has become drawn into the dream and believes in its reality, they have become real, and therefore he is under their power.
Therefore, once the spirit comes to believe in the reality of the material world and in its power to affect the spiritual being, the source of these causes of suffering are the spirit who has become degraded by the existence of the world, has floundered in its depths so long that the real source of all actions and material things is the spirit itself.
When the spirit has been cleansed of its encounters with the world of matter, then all material effects are washed away. Eliminate the power of the world, and the suffering of the world is also eliminated. The spirit has been purified and reclaims those things of which it is the source.
When fear, and confusions vanish in the light of the Spirit. Cause of suffering and illness, fear and death also vanishes. If you allow yourself as a practitioner to believe in the reality of matter as the source of illness, fear, birth, suffering and death, you provide them with the power to rule your spirit.
When you admit discord and disease and permit them to have their own reality and source within the world of matter, you give them this power over your spirit, that you cannot help yourself nor be helped in spirit.
Giving such power to material things prevents their recognition as the simple interplay of the five primal forms of consciousness within the void, thus rendering the practitioner unfit for the successful application of the teaching.
And so, a practitioner always dwells in the reality of pure spirit and never allows the material world to be the source of itself, but only the result of the direction of the divine spirit and subject to it. So this sermon, synopsis, Silverdale.
Well, listen, you know, again, unquestionably, for me, this speaks of that point in time in which we have awoken our essence as a separate and independent life within ourselves. And that awakening of the essence is actually what gives to us the properties of a practitioner, because now we know how to separate our essence from the materiality of our body and the associative processes of our psyche. In the awakening of the essence, we begin to see ourselves clearly as spirit, and then we begin to shift the center of gravity away from a belief in the reality of our physical world to a permanent conviction and confidence in the spirit within ourselves, that immaterial presence. So that's what I get out of this.
Yeah.
Well said.
And nobody's, like, sort of terrified by this sermon. I mean, I read it and I find it kind of terrifying.
Actually, I think it's the time when terror has become removed, when it just dawns on you that we've been following this all along and we were always there. We just hadn't accepted it yet. And now our address has changed. We no longer receive mail in the physical body. I mean, our locus, our center of gravity has shifted to spiritual matters. Basically, that's all we think about.
I understand that, you know, for me it's kind of that, you know, moving from personality to presence, but on a daily basis, I just... I don't feel that I keep that remembrance of the true source. When I listen to this, I feel like I'm very, very far from the mark of living what's...
Well, you're still in a physical organism, so... We have to cut them some slack. I mean, you do for other people. You give other people slack. Why not give it to yourself?
I'm suggesting that as the description that Silverdale gave us as the synopsis of this particular sermon, It actually reflects specifically and exactly the same teaching that is in Practical Work on Self and Human Biological Transformation as the activation of will in the moment. It is not an everyday, all day long, you keep this thing going for yourself type of thing. I don't think that's what's being said. I think the clue is, for me anyway, the clue is in the logic of following the sequence of the statements. If you do these things in logic, and I've never taken logic, but this is what it seems to me now. If you follow the sequence of statements, it says, these things are not spirit. These things are not spirit. This is how it becomes that we think these things are what it is. This is how come we have given up the power to distinguish the difference. Here is where we can start to make a small change. And like most of my readings of this material, I always check how the paragraph or the sentence begins. And the paragraph that says, when the spirit has been cleansed, is the first time that it is not a state of objective fact. It's a statement of condition. When the spirit has been cleansed of its encounters, then the effects are washed away. Well, that doesn't happen all day long. It's a momentary thing. So I agree with you as far as the emphasis on the impact of the long-term effect of this, like a whole lifetime where you never wake up for even one moment to yourself. Yeah, that's a terrible, terrifying, horrific condition to be confronted with. But that's not actually our nature. We have awake moments all day long. We just not very often are attentive to them. So we do have the potential to have this particular sentence occur, which says, eliminate the power of the world, and the suffering of the world is also eliminated. What's the power of the world? To me, the power of the world is, where am I distracted? How do I lose my focus? That's the power. That's the dream. So it's kind of, I hear that it's very weighted in the presentation of the conditions as they exist, but it still gives the statement of potential, the ability to bring the spirit to life in yourself in a momentary basis. That's how I hear it. I don't know. Dan, what do you got over there? Wave the camera at us. No, the phone.
Well, Lights here says, interesting sermon. I don't have any other comments yet.
Interesting sermon. What does White Seer mean by interesting? How is it interesting to you, White Seer? I have a question for you. In the moment that you put the robes on, in that description you were giving a moment ago, did you have any foretelling?
No.
Okay, so it was totally out of the blue.
Yes, I mean, I think my last thought
yeah.
was just an awareness that the people, some of the people in the room were very uncomfortable with the fact of what he was doing, you
yes.
know, being the non-Jew
yeah, yeah.
and the,
yeah.
And that was the last thought. And trust me, it was a non-thought experience.
Exactly.
It was...
yeah. So it wasn't your ordinary.
No.
Okay.
Not, you know.
So if you see that in a certain way that's the veil has been rendered,
mm-hmm. yeah, that's a
and,
good way to
and your that. Eyes have been opened,
right.
and you've seen, mm-hmm. and that's not something that occurred in a way that you would have predicted, mm-hmm. but you have the recollection of it occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it also strengthens other recollections of other times of that type.
Yes, and I think there is, you know, and that was part of the sense I got from when he used the multi-track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the, you know, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't linear.
No.
And it wasn't parallel. There, you know, there was definitely this sort of, you know, interwoven, you know, aspect.
And I think when Silverdale uses the language, which I very much appreciate your language, Silverdale, it's really very helpful. When you use the language which says we are very young and we come to the essence over time and we come slowly and we don't come all at once, but moments of essence build.
Mm-hmm.
And the I believe that the nature of spirit is moment by moment assembled.
Yes, and I also, I guess what I was referring to, this was as a practice. As you're aware of, I've kind of gone through a sort of long, strange illness.
Mm-hmm.
And when it talks in here that, you know, illness is mm-hmm. not of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're in the midst of, you know, physical pain or disorientation or any of those negative emotions, the practice would be to remember this. You know, that to be in the world but not of it. So I'm just, I guess what I was referring to is that when you said distraction, you know, it's, you know, to go back to that source. Or Patricia has put on our refrigerator that cash flow is in the hands of the universe. Well, from this perspective, that's true. So if I don't have a dollar in my pocket, I can still be in this place of, I guess when Jesus talks about consider the lilies of the field, or that in a very, whatever obstacles that arise in my life are for the benefit of my spirit,
mm-hmm.
and in whatever immense sufferings or difficulties, there is still spirit that can be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, kind of in the tying in with the dream state, because, you know, for those of us who have an interest in the dream, you do experience all these intense emotions.
Yes.
And then sometimes you can wake up in that dream, and,
right.
and then there's a freedom of movement. But I guess this is just, I see how far I am from doing this kind of work of recognizing source in everything.
Mm. Yes, you have another comment. Good. Thank you.
Okay. So, Dick says, between the time of uncertainty and certainty of being spirit, it's the time for extra effort, will, and perhaps faith in being. Tianjo says, identifying with our essence is sure a lot easier in the sacred space, so we can enjoy it while we can.
What was that again, please? Again, please.
Tianjo says, identifying with our essence is sure a lot easier in this sacred space, so we can enjoy it while we can.
Yes.
And then White Seer says, Pat, this transition also makes one lose the ability to think and act,
yes.
Personality to essence.
Yes. Very common experience.
You mean the boot?
And then she says, only a master can help us here in the transition.
And I'm going to return us in the last few moments. Did you have more? I'm sorry.
There's some more.
Oh, then you better You better off set up before you move.
Okay. So Piangio says, if we can stay in spirit, then we can see the illusion of the world just as we can in the transit state.
Sure.
And then White Seer says, I don't understand spirit as of now, as I'm not astrally active yet, but can relate a bit due to higher experiences.
Yes, it's gradual. Gradual. Any more? Okay. So for the close of this ABD guidebook session on sermon 4, 3, and 4, I want to read the first paragraph again from the third Sunday sermon. Life is not, nor has it ever been, dependent on the conditions of existence or the existence of the body. When we discover in this teaching that we survive any body into which we have gotten ourselves, then there is no question of uncertainty about it. Which brings me to the Voyager's Quatrain, also known as the Four Lines, or if you need to rely on something, how about this for you? All phenomena is illusion. Join in. Neither attracted nor repelled. Not making any sudden moves. My habits will carry. Thank you all for being here with us tonight. We will send out the link in an email. See you soon.
Thanks, Pat and Tamara.
Thanks, Pat and Tamara. Excellent. Beautiful
question. Thank you.
Good night, all.